Welcome to This Much I Learn, Marketing Week's regular podcast in which we invite the great and good in marketing and beyond to impart their wisdom and perspective on marketing matters. My name is Russell Parsons, Editor-in-Chief at Marketing Week, and I am your host for this episode. In a break from the norm, I'm pleased to welcome two guests to the podcast, Emma Bottom, Group Brand Proposition and Marketing Communications Director at Tesco, and Karen Martin, CEO of BBH London. And the reason for two guests, BBH are currently Marketing Week's Agency of the Year, in large part because of the effectiveness of the work they have done with Tesco. BBH won the Tesco account in 2015 at a time when the supermarket was at a low ebb, reeling still from an accounting scandal that had damaged brand perception and investor confidence. The agency has been there through the wide-ranging turnaround plan instigated by then-CEO Dave Lewis, in the trenches as it looked to ward off the advances of Aldi and Lidl, and through COVID, which threw up challenges previously unimagined to us all. So what's the secret of their partnership, and what does good look like when it comes to effective relationships between clients and agency? To answer those questions and many more, welcome to the podcast, Karen and Emma.
Hello.
As I say, it's been an eventful few years for everybody in business and marketing. And it's, I suppose it's always going to be challenging with a household name like Tesco. And you've both been around for much of the partnership. So anything stick out as a high or maybe a low? Emma, let me start with you. If you could identify a highlight from your partnership.
I suppose the first thing to say, there are many. So it's quite a difficult one to choose from. I think I'm going to take us back to difficult times, which was in terms of contextual difficult times, which was probably COVID. And whilst there were many things that were great about that time, one of the highlights, I think, and it's actually one of the highlights actually of my working career, not just working with BBH, is actually how we worked during that period of time. So the highlight and how that manifested itself would have been about, that was a time of clearly where we had to completely pivot, work differently. But it was also the time, and we might talk about this a little bit later, where we probably issued fewer briefs than we ever had done. And yet, the quality of the work that was coming through was instinctive, and new work kept coming onto the table that was inspired by being right at the heart of what was going on for our colleague and customer base. And BBH just brought new ideas. And we just were able to say, I was able to say, yes, let's do it. And so that was quite a different time in terms of not actually having briefs on the table, but being inspired by the tricky time and the intimacy that we have with customers of instinctively knowing what needed to be said, what help needed to be given at that point of time. So out of deep, dark times, actually, that was both a career high, but also, for me, a creative high, but also a brilliant agency and partnership high.
Before I ask you about lows, that's really interesting. If I could just unpack that and bring perhaps Karen in on that point, because COVID obviously threw up challenges, as I said in my introduction, that nobody had previously anticipated. It also forced people to work very differently, to think differently. I mean, I think we're all still exhausted by the amount of pivoting and how agile we needed to be, or insert cliche word there. But I suppose what it did do is focus and force you to think differently and perhaps to force a partnership that had been set to be different. So did it help, I suppose? Emma just made the point there that there were fewer briefs. It was instinctive. Did that help reset? If I could ask you to reflect on that period as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's true is we have and had a brilliant partnership anyway, because, you know, you work on something like Tesco, you see each other all day, every day, most days. And I think the kind of the sheer change in the working environment, and then it was suddenly we would meet, we would talk every morning at 8 o'clock every single morning, like just before you do your Joe Wicks exercise with your kids. But we would all come together. And then in the evening, at 6:30, 7, sometimes 8, sometimes 9, sometimes 10. Then the wine would come into screen. Like, so it was, we kind of lived with each other. Like, we knew each other's family. Who was in the, so it was just, it was, as Emma said, it was intimate. It was really, really lovely because you got to know so much more about each other and each other's lives. So I think that was great, particularly for the team. But to be honest, we were all consumers, right? So we were all worried about the same things, about how to get access to food. And equally, that is really important to bring yourself into it as well, going, how do I feel? Because that's how the world was feeling. And I feel, you know, Tesco was such leaders in settling people's nerves and stresses. And so to be part of that was amazing. Plus, I knew stuff ahead of everybody else, which was very useful, which was great. So I think it was an absolute high. There was loads in that, of course, because it was really, really challenging and we were worried for ourselves and our businesses, etc. But it was the strength of the partnership that I think, like, we could just jump into straight away, and we totally trusted each other and we backed each other and we were always very grateful to each other. And I think in moments of stress, all those things can go out the window. But I feel we really, really came together, and the success is there for people, consumers, as well as ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you need that trust, and that's a word that I often hear as a necessity for any successful partnership. But if I'm hearing you correctly, empathy and understanding that was already there, deep because of circumstance. I appreciate I haven't asked about lowlights. We'll come back to those later. I just want to explore this idea of trust, because I hear that a lot. The key to every successful agency-client relationship is trust. I want to try and break down where holding you guys up rightfully as a successful partnership, as an example of good practice. Let's try and break it down. Firstly, let's begin with trust. I hear it all the time. It's key, it's key, it's key. But how do you actually forge that trust, create that trust? I mean, if I appreciate you need to step outside yourself both here to try and understand how it's created, how it's fostered. But Emma, how would you say you've built that trust that enabled you to think on your feet and react and successfully react during COVID? What did you do to enable that trust in the first place?
It's a great question. So But maybe when we break it down into sort of a little bit of the what and the how, which sounds very functional, doesn't it, when it's such an emotive trust dynamic. But I think in a client agency relationship, first and foremost, the quality of delivery has to be, look, the what is absolutely essential. So if that isn't there, then actually, no matter how strong the relationship is, it's going to come under significant pressure. So I think I would just shout out, actually, what I've been very happy about is the quality and the consistency of the delivery of output. And one of the things that we do to try and ensure that is we bring BBH all in. So my philosophy is it's that they are truly a business partner. So it's all in, sharing the problem. You know, the problem we need to solve today, the problem we need to solve for customers tomorrow. Here's what's on my mind. Here's where I'm having a wobble. This is where I'm feeling vulnerable. Crikey, I've just been out with a customer in store and that 10p differential on pickles meant she couldn't buy it. What do we do with that? And so the concept of delivery is important, but also bringing them right into the heart of the jobs to be done. How do we solve this problem together? Not just saying, oh, here's a brief on something here that we would like you to play in your space and do whilst we merrily manage all the other elements of this mix or the proposition or what we need to deliver for customers. So I think there's that bit in terms of the work. There's the bringing them in. And I think then there's the vulnerability that's required with all relationships and trust, which is, you don't always have all the answers. And my experience is by bringing Karen and her team in, we generally have a really good strategic conversation about, are we sure?
Yeah.
Have we got to the nub of the problem?
Yeah.
And then we get an understanding of the true challenge that's facing us, or the true opportunity And then we had 100% go all gusto behind trying to solve that together.
I feel like this is good life advice almost.
It's relationships, isn't it? So there's going to be some
parallels. Marketing services, demonstrating vulnerability and building trust. It's all good stuff. Karen, let me get your take on the question of trust and where it comes from and how to maintain and foster it.
Well, I think there's two parts where I would say that we're all very respectful of each other, our opinions, and that's for my team that work on Tesco, always feel that their opinions are valued. And I can say that is the case. I'm sure it's not the case for lots of client and agency relationships. So people really feel, if they feel strongly about something, it's always taken on board and discussed. And that, for me, was the whole way through for your team as well. So I think that has got to be there. And brutal honesty. Like Emma and I will have many, many conversations if something that we just don't feel is up to scratch or that quality that Emma speaks about, that if it's not there, maybe we don't have it in front of the team, but maybe there's just a quick call with each other going, yeah, that wasn't great or that wasn't our best and I feel this and, you know, and never defensive, always putting your hands up. And Emma's a brilliant client of always going, yes, and what could we have done better? And I think that is just the mark of, it's never blame. It's never, it is that. And therefore you can be really, really honest because you know you're out to try and make the situation better, not just stand pointing fingers at each other. And I think that then creates a really positive relationship bottom up.
It's really interesting what you're saying there. I wrote a few things down both from what you both said there, actually. Emma, you talked about it, bringing BBH in as truly a business partner, and Karen, you mentioned the brutal honesty you both afford each other, it sounds. Just taking a step back from that, the relationship is essentially a transactional one. Tesco pays BBH for its services. So just calling back to what you said there, Emma, about BBH being a business partner. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it seems key to the relationship, but essentially they work for you. Is there ever a tension there?
There must be, mustn't there? There must be just in the sheer nature of the setup. Do we feel that tension? No, that would not play out in our day-to-day because we're actually targeted on the same thing. Yeah. So there's a number of things that we've put in place, no least actually some of the work that the team do at BBH, they would be remunerated against the same targets that I would set for my team. So already you're all trying to achieve the same goal. And that's what I mean about a partnership. Was there anything else that you would add to that?
I mean, I certainly don't think there's a tension, but I suppose what will be held at BBH is we want to do our best work on our biggest clients, and Tesco is our biggest client, so we want to do our best work. So we'll always challenge each other on those things, and that we're doing the right work to answer the briefs, but it's of great quality. So if there's anything, we're both aligned on that. So therefore, it's good for us, it's good for BBH as a business, and it's good for Tesco because we're both pretty much driven by the same.
Check in on the relationship with an independent.
Yes, that's right. Advisor
who does. 360.
You have a couples counselor, is that what I'm hearing here?
Sorry?
You have a couples counselor here.
Well, again, all good relationships need help. But it's to keep us honest. But it's brilliant because we have 360 feedback for both the teams. And what's really interesting over the period of sort of this sort of six, 7 years is that it was a very respectful and beautifully sanitized version right from the get-go. We do this, four times a year, maybe two times a year.
Yes.
And it's a proper 360 feedback from all people in BBH who work on our business and my team, feeding back about each other on various elements. And it was all very sanitized and polite, lovely in the first one, and it was fabulous. And then we saw this enormous dip as you then become more honest and more vulnerable. Yeah. It's actually that's a bit, that could be better. But actually, that really annoyed us when you did that. And so actually what's been amazing is watching the robust, because you see the verbatim scores as well. And see, and more people are actually writing anonymous.
Yeah.
That's brilliant because we've created some psychological safety between the two teams, that they are absolutely happy to write down, this is what I'm super proud of, this is what I love working on as part of this collective team, and this is what I think could be better, and I'm passionate about putting it down so that we can drive that going forward.
And on that, even if the comments are anonymous, everybody's very, you know, I said that actually, there's no one going hiding. So that's the back to the brutal honesty going. I'm very happy to put my name to a good or bad, which is great. But anyway, if you're me and you're writing it and you're Irish, I have so many tells that I can't even look at. Just with the use of the word brilliant over and over again, there we go. That's Karen, clearly. But yeah, it's great, and it keeps us honest. And but also we sort out the issues. And then and anyway, if any of these things are ever too positive, it's nonsense. I never buy that. Like 100% of people love working somewhere. No, they don't. They're just not telling me the truth.
Let's just explore the brutal honesty, shall we, just for a moment. And give me an example of, let me start with you, Karen. Give me an example of when you've said, that's not the right thing. No, you shouldn't do that. No, we won't do that. Whatever it was.
We could talk about, like, we're not going to use any specific campaigns, but you can imagine if we put stuff out that we don't feel is our best. And like the volume of work that we make, that has to happen. And it is. And sometimes when it's gone out, you know, you just kind of go, right, okay, we won't say anything about it. But I'd call Emma and I'd go, I don't think that's our finest work. And she might go, I agree, or we accept that there was conditions for it or whatever. But I feel like I can do that. And I feel that there's enough trust there to go. It's a rarity. But I also think if you don't recognize these things, then you're not constantly learning, or how do you make it better, or how do you not repeat that? So of a, you know, 8-9 year relationship now, you're going to have to expect sometimes not everything's perfect. We'll pick up the phone. And if you think it's on you, then put your hand up and say, we collectively as a team on our side could have done a hell of a lot better here. And I love that, because I think you always need to be hard on yourself and these things. Otherwise, if you think everything's brilliant, you're deluded.
We do have quite a lot of conversations around briefs. That's sometimes where it shows up.
Yeah.
Is I try to see all the briefs. But sometimes there may be a brief that sits with Karen and the team, and they're looking at it and saying, really? Are we sure got this right? And I love that, because it's not just taking a brief and merrily responding to it. There's some strategic thinking that's going in from the agency. And there's a really good challenge. And that's what I've really loved over the period of the relationship, is having the upfront conversation about what is it we're trying to do here. Have we put the customer at the heart of this conversation? Have we put her first? Mm. Have we truly analysed the deep-rooted data or consumer behaviour, or and rooted it in that problem statement? And so that would probably be an area where they have pushed back, say, do you know what? This isn't good enough.
I appreciate we're jumping around a little bit, but let's just dwell on briefs for a second, because briefs are absolutely imperative, I imagine, to a great relationship with any of your clients, Karen, getting a good brief. There's been a lot of criticism. Columnist Mark Ritson has written a lot about the standard of briefs, lacking in strategy, lacking in a sense of a bigger picture. Briefs clearly important to make sure that you're giving your client, in this case, the best you can possibly give them.
That's your contract, isn't it? I mean, you have to come back to the objective, single-minded proposition, and did you deliver? There are briefs, we've all experienced the, you know, the 25-page brief going, well, I don't really know what to do with this information. We distill it down, all briefs, because we'll get a great brief from Tesco, or if we're not happy with it, we'll trash it out. And there's lots of discussion on it, because you have to answer the brief, and that's your, well, did we do that? Like, we might have a difference of opinion on work, but if it's answering the brief, then that's your, you've all kind of agreed to that. Hey, you might move the proposition on to make it more interesting for creatives. Sometimes very straight propositions are great, but we need to find something in it to give us that creative leap. And being able to have those conversations as well to make sure that we see where we need to take it, to evolve it, to excite the creatives as well, because, you know, that's our job. We need to do that. But but we should always be discussing the briefs. And you tend to do it on the bigger ones and maybe sometimes the smaller ones. And it's often the smaller ones then that aren't, don't get the same due diligence than the work. It might even take longer. In fact, it often takes longer when the brief isn't good. And you're going, well, this should be really easy to solve. Why aren't we? Because we're not clear on what it is we're trying to do. So not great briefs, much longer time frame, not great work.
The only thing that occurs to me, actually, because I wouldn't want to give the impression that we are formulaic, process-led, and slaves to a process. That's really important. Because whilst that helps and it allows everybody to have something to go back to, even something as big as Christmas, which, yes, you know, in the retail calendar is an enormous gig. Our brief to BBH this year was one line. That's all it was. So there are, and again, that's a now.
What's the line, by the way?
I don't know. Are you?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm saying, but.
Just so that, you know, again, just for people who are listening to this, thinking, oh gosh, that sounds really just,
you know,
called formulaic and I don't need to spend half my life working briefs. No, but it's again, it's like some of our briefs have been and continue to be just one line, but a really well-crafted position.
Must be a hell of a line if it's just one line for something that makes it so high.
That's trust, isn't it? That's total trust. Like, the team get it. And that's the other thing, sorry, I'm doing, because I'm now getting excited about this brief writing. How do I know? I'm on the strategy. In my blood, where we go. But I think the other part is proactivity, right? It's not that like getting a piece of work that you haven't asked for, but that your agency are thinking about you all the time. I mean, and sometimes it's not great or it's not right, but God, that's brilliant. We love a bit of that. And I think of things like, you know, when we did Pop to the Pub after lockdown and the pubs were open and we were generous enough to go visit your local, we'll be okay, you know, because Tesco, you know, would have done quite well over that time, your local not so much. And that was a total spontaneous, I was like, I love it.
Well, safe spaces.
Yeah, safe spaces as well. Yeah, Cham Huntex, all those things that we've come collectively together going, I know it's not in the brief calendar this year, but what about it? And they always go, yeah. And then you kind of go, I mean, I love Tesco for many reasons, but it's operational excellence of coming up with something and then them going, yeah, we can do that. And like mobilizing 320,000 colleagues. It's like, it's phenomenal. Anyway, sorry, I got very excited. Okay, I'm done.
And I think you're right too. It's really interesting. If you can say less and less is more, perhaps, in a brief, I think maybe that's indicative of, well, I suppose the strength of a relationship, the strategic understanding or the understanding from an agency side of the strategic imperative, and also having a shared culture of effectiveness, which obviously BBH is very well known for in delivering business outcomes and meaningful business outcomes for clients and Tesco in this particular case. So I suppose if you can reduce a brief down to a very well-crafted sentence, I imagine. But that's because you've got a shared understanding of the role that you play, but also a shared culture of effectiveness. Talk to me about how you fostered that culture of effectiveness between you.
Tesco is a very results-driven business, as you know.
You're a PLC, and a big one.
And I suppose the key thing that I would be needing for in the team would be ensuring that we would always put the customer first. Mm-hmm. So the customer intimacy part is not to be sniffed at. And so, again, if we think about, so are we bringing in that time that we have gone on that consumer visit and watched somebody use our scan to shop. Have we watched somebody try to put a blue token in our Stronger Starts program? Have we observed in a consumer group how people are talking about the fact that they're trying to balance the purse strings and what value truly means to them? And so I think it starts there in terms of our analysis of, again, I've talked about it, but the job to be done, what is the customer problem we're trying to help with and we're trying to solve? And that, therefore, of course, translates into a need to move something from X to Y. So whilst we do spend time building hearts, building minds, building a differentiation for our brand, if it's not rooted in what the customer needs and what the customer needs help with generally, and more recently, that's been in the value space as we've seen, then actually there's no way you're going to get any kind of effectiveness baked into the process, because everyone needs to be really clear. What are we trying to do here? Are we trying to help customers understand about the fact that we have fabulous prices, that they can access ranges, that these are the deals. So that it is a day-to-day strong trading environment in which we operate, in particular value. And therefore, effectiveness has to be completely baked in, because we need people to be able to navigate value well in our stores and online. We need them to be able to see that they've been understood, they've been listened to, and actually the work is speaking to them in a way that's helpful, that's showing them fair and consistent pricing every single day, that's showing them where the deals are, showing them where the range is that they can buy into to manage their weekly household income. So that's where it sort of starts, and I think that's one of the things that bakes in the need, absolute need for effectiveness to solve that problem.
Yeah, I mean, serving customer needs, I suppose, it's the 101, I suppose, for any market. But I suppose the second half of that equation is serving customer needs in a profitable way, and I suppose that's where I was coming from when I was talking about effectiveness. Karen, any further points on effectiveness and building that culture and having a shared understanding of what it is that you're trying to do, and indeed what your client Tesco in this case is trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, effectiveness is just baked into BBH. It is, if your work isn't working, then it's not working. And I think that's definitely the belief. As this idea was born from that, it was, you know, very much an effectiveness culture. And when you can prove that out, you know, creativity to solve business problems, we're in the big end of this. We can use these amazing skills and tools that we have to solve real business problems. And I think when those are separated in, here's the fun, creative stuff, it should never be. It's a business. We're a business. This is a business, you know. And that has to be in the blood of the agency. And we've got amazing strats who work with Emma's team as well when it comes to, you know, yes, winning an effectiveness paper is great, but really at the end of the day, evaluating the work against the objective set. And have we delivered what we need to do? And if we haven't, what do we learn to go again? And I think, you know, being a results business is great because we can prove it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So, sorry, I may have misunderstood your question. Maybe you were thinking more about the space of econometrics, for example. So we have a robust system we've put in place where we are, by channel, increasingly in a more personalized way, looking at the effectiveness of what we put out there, or it's a good return on our investment.
Plus, in my other part of my job, I chair the effectiveness leadership group of the IPA, which is brilliant because you see the amount of minds and brains that come together to further test our effectiveness. And it's great that we would kind of believe in it as much, because when you see that information is so powerful, when you can see, you know, the return on investment over years and proving out the impact marketing can have on a business is phenomenal. So when we see that and we circulate more of that, that should be the case for all businesses and all clients and their agencies about, you know, creativity can solve some of the bigger issues, which obviously why I do what I do. But yeah,
I almost feel like we should have an amen to what you both said there. I mean, clearly effectiveness and meaningful effectiveness is paramount. Often though, and I suppose in the last, 5 to 10 years, there has been perhaps an imbalance between efficiency and effectiveness because of cost pressures, we're just coming out, hopefully, touch wood, of the worst of the cost of living and the worst of inflation. But that will have put a lot of pressure on Emma and team and Tesco as a company, of course. And then all the macroeconomic ruptions that have happened over since the financial crash. It's important, therefore, I imagine, Carol, for you to understand, A, the role that you play in your clients' working life and their pursuit of their business objectives, but also to really understand the pressures that Emma and team are under. How do you go about doing that? What's your approach there?
Well, I mean, I think back to the point of share it, the honesty around, you know, if there's going to be, I would say that we say spend clients' money like it's your own. So you have to have an economical and efficient perspective, because you never want to look like, particularly on a brand as big as Tesco, we don't want to look like you're not spending wisely. And then when consumer conferences, et cetera. So I think that should just be the natural part of any relationship, and being understanding the challenges in any business. And it's all businesses, right? Everyone is looking to find ways to be more efficient. And so they should, and so should we. So I think that's just part of it. I don't know, maybe it's been felt more so over the past couple of years, but I think that's always, always, always the conversation with clients and agency relationship is, you know, using your budgets effectively.
It's become a bit of a mantra, hasn't it? Doing more with less, or doing fewer things more effectively, or whatever way that you want to present it and interpret it. But it is a necessity. It is absolutely. And I suppose the last 10 years has also enabled brands and agencies to optimize or better optimize spend with data enabling perhaps more focused investment as well. I'm just going to call back to something that I actually asked you both at the beginning but didn't allow you to answer, because we got so excited about briefs and other things, right? I do want to just ask you to and perhaps this is where some of the brutal honesty that you refer to, Karen, can come in. Some of the lowlights, some of the things that didn't go particularly well over the course of the partnership with Tesco, I will start with you. Is there a moment, is there something that you could perhaps learn from, or you did learn from, that didn't go well?
Blows. Like, it's funny, Emma starts, we talked about COVID. Like, COVID was a high and COVID was a mega low as well, because I think we worked so hard, didn't we? We worked so, so hard. And we're so used to being together as well. That was really weird that, like, you didn't see each other. So I found that we were doing loads of great things, but there was moments when it was just, maybe we were just so knackered, but that was, you know, we were running on empty many stages. And I think we felt such responsibility as well, because we were getting so much work out. We were worried about colleagues and all. It's so much to kind of, so I think that was just a hard, mentally hard time. And I think, I'm not going to give specific examples, but I think you have to have highs and lows. That's the way it goes. I think the thing is, to recognize it, to say, I didn't like that. That wasn't great. We weren't brilliant then, or whatever. But do it there and then move on really quickly, so it's not a low that remains. But you can't look at something like Tesco, the scale of work, without having highs and lows. Loads of highs, and then a few moments of like, oh God, that's really hard. And sometimes when then you're finding it really hard, you probably are as well. And there'll be something in, why is this so crap? Like, and I think it's a, and we have to, we know each other that we can say that to one another as well. So I feel like lows all over the place, sort them out quickly, and then enjoy the highs and celebrate the highs. That's the thing. Know when you're in a high and enjoy it.
Yeah. What would I add to that? I think one of the conversations, we've put in several conversations over the years where we reset ourselves on creative ambition.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. And it's not in response to a particular low, but it is a recognition of, are we all reaching for the same thing here?
Yeah.
Should we just check in again? It's like Emma and Karen, the relationship. But checking in terms of, do we have the same ambition for the teams? Do we have the same expectations of what bloody good looks like? And that's a really illuminating conversation, because then suddenly you can find chasms of, oh right, okay, you're over there, wow, okay. No wonder some of the conversations have got a bit sticky over the recent project that we're working on, because you're all over there and we're sitting in a different playground altogether. So that has happened. It's not a specific low, but we're quite used to and quite resilient from jumping out of, this is feeling a bit sticky, there's some treacle, what's the noise? Let's reset creative ambition again. Let's just check and then let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have often have our lows together so that we can protect the team. Yeah. We've got an awful lot of people on collective teams, and if heads go down, our job is to lift them up. And I think we will probably take on a lot more of that and talk to each other about it and go, right, accept that, let's move on, let's build everyone back up, and we'll make sure we do an awful lot with each other. The teams do an awful, spend an awful lot of time with each other. They spend huge amounts of time with each other. There's Tesco Thursdays, which everyone comes to BBH on Thursday. It's brilliant. Everybody's here working away and all the meetings happen. Like, it's the most intense day. Retail's great anyway, because it's so quick, but like on Thursdays, it's mega meeting day. You can't get a meeting room in this place because it's just like, if everything's presented and you kind of build up to those, and sometimes people are in on Tuesday and then we go to Ellen. So we're always with each other, but that helps the team dynamic too.
Let me ask you to think forward, if I could, both of you, it'd be interesting to get a take on. There's a lot written about the future of the agency-client relationship. Do you see it evolving and changing radically? I mean, generally, not necessarily your own relationship, but the agency-client one. Do you see it different, say, in 5 years' time or anything specific that might be different? I'll start with you, Karen, if I could.
Well, I've been in this industry 23 years now, like a suit through and through. And you can tell a good relationship from a bad relationship in the work, I think. And so I don't feel that it has changed, but I think all the brilliant clients understand the importance of investing in time with your agency, because to Tesco's credit, for BBH have always felt like a true partner in the turnaround and anything. We know so much about the business and we care that much, but that invitation is always there. That isn't always the case. And as a result, you would run through walls for Tesco, because we feel the business, we feel we know we've got the same objectives and all the rest of it. So I don't think they will change. I can't see them being any different, but I think the ones and the clients that understand how powerful that relationship can be when they invest in it, we'll see and feel all the difference. And plenty don't, like lots don't. But we're very fortunate that we don't have that issue.
I mean, what I'm hearing, I suppose, is that the end game, the objective, will remain the same. I suppose executionally, and there will be an evolution in creative execution, that will be different because it will be different. Or evolve, but the objective and the purpose remains the same. Emma, anything to add there?
We know for sure. I mean, the pace of the change is already extraordinary, and I think one of the things that I would see changing would be we are increasingly trying to empower our teams to solve the problems. Increasingly trying to bring some of this decision making right down to the lowest levels, who are really in the guts of the problems, to try and solve it themselves. Increasingly, as we can focus on some of the big ticket items that are on their way. So whether that's an increased personalization world, a less linear TV world, how do you capture and harness data to ensure that the right value equation is there for customers? So there's some big challenges on our way and huge opportunity. How we consistently show up for customers and how we consistently ensure our brand is showing up in a relevant, engaging, differentiated way. Then I think that's the challenge that both Karen and I will need to work on as the team feel more empowered. We are brilliant, brilliant team. So we're big shout out if there's anybody working on our business.
Exactly.
And we're really proud of our partnerships.
Yeah.
And this is a really big one. So as an organization, we believe in the power of partnerships. We cannot do everything ourselves. And we need help, we need support, we need expertise. We've got lots in-house, but we need partners to deliver our sort of strategic future. So in that respect, there will be shifts, I'm sure of it. But it's exciting.
I think what you've just identified, or at least my take on it, would be a challenge for marketing and marketers generally, and all in marketing services. How do you maintain that broad reach and awareness and consideration, but also take advantage without getting lost in the ability to target and the ability to drive more personalized engagement? One final question for both of you, if I could. If there's one piece of advice that you were to offer anybody listening that has an agency relationship, of how to, what good looks like, if there was one piece, something that you could fit on a t-shirt, well, not literally, but what would that be?
Pick up the phone and call your client regularly. The emails, the kind of WhatsApps, the kind of, like, just pick up the phone. So basic, but like everything can be solved in a 5-minute chat rather than, you know, emails back and forth and back and forth. So I'm like, just old school. You've got a phone, use it.
Get the phone. That will fit on a t-shirt, Emma, and that's your challenge.
And to the phone.
Yeah.
That's on the back of the t-shirt.
please answer.
Why isn't she answering? We're back to relationship counselling again.
I think the biggest piece of advice would be, just imagine your customer is sitting here right between the two of you.
Yeah, exactly.
At all times. It constantly keeps us honest. It reminds us who we're doing this all for. And it allows us to ensure that we don't get sort of carried away with ourselves. And keeps us very rooted in the real world pressures and opportunities that our customer is facing and wants out of life now and for the future. So I would say, just imagine that your customer base is just sitting, or one of your customers is just sitting right there. And so that changes your language. It changes the tone. It keeps it simple, keeps it real, keeps it energetic, dynamic, and that's all part of the Tesco personality for me. So that's what I would say to people. Just imagine they're there.
And that is a much better piece of advice, I would say.
And then pick up. Get out of the phone.
I was trying to reduce it in my head there to a t-shirt slogan. Cozy up to your customer, I got to.
I like that.
There you go.
Pick up the phone and cozy up to your customer. Feels like sage and cogent advice to conclude our conversation today. So thank you very much, Karen and Emma, for your brutal honesty and giving us a little under the bonnet look at the relationship, which has proven very effective and very successful. So thank you to both. Thanks to everybody that listened. Until next time on This Much I Learned, goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to This Much I Learned with me, Russell Parsons, and production and editing from Georgie Chantroplan and Mihai Andre. You can listen to previous episodes in the series wherever you get your podcasts from.